Morning. Today's daf Menachos Pei Beis. We are in Pei Aleph on the Beis. We are about halfway down the Amud. We are discussing the Karban Torah as we have been over the course of the eighth parak of the Masechta. And we learned a mission yesterday regarding the bringing of the Karban Torah from your Maaser Sheni. Again, let's recap. Maaser Sheni is the second 10% that comes forward of the 7 years of the Shemitah cycle. Years 1, 2, 4, 5. After your Maaser Rishon that you give to the Levi, so then you get take your second 10%. And you don't give it to anybody, but you retain it. It has Kiddush, it has sanctity. It can only be eaten in the environs of Yerushalayim. You have to be within Chomas Yerushalayim in order to eat your Maaser Sheni. If you want to, being that Yerushalayim may not be within proximity, so you can take your Maaser Sheni, redeem it onto money, take the money to Yerushalayim, purchase food with that money. It has to be a food of substance, and eat the food at Yerushalayim. And so these are the basics of Maaser Sheni. There's a fundamental question, which we're going to touch on today. We didn't discuss it yesterday. I mentioned it yesterday, but we didn't discuss it. Is Maaser Sheni your money? Is it Mamon Hejot or is it Mamon Gavoa? Machlokes HaTanaim, which we're going to see later on this morning. In the meantime, can I take my Maaser Sheni and buy a Karban Torah with it? So, as I mentioned yesterday, but we're going to see it very clearly today, what should I be buying with my Maaser Sheni money? So we know the answer is food. You have to eat it. But in other words, what kind of food? So, the best thing to do with your Maaser Sheni money is buy Karban Shlamim. Think about it. You take Maaser Sheni, and you're now in Yerushalayim, and you're going to be eating the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. So, let's roll one mitzvah into another mitzvah. Take your Maaser Sheni money, buy a Karban Shlamim with it. You're going to eat the Shlamim anyway. So, you're taking Maaser Sheni, and you're buying a Karban with it, and great. And that would be a wonderful thing to do. However, just with one cautionary note, which we saw in yesterday's daf, and we're going to see again in today's daf. If you have a personal obligation to bring a karban, in other words, you made a neder, and now you have personal liability to bring a karban, so then you can't use Maaser Sheni for that kind of karban. And the reason why is very simple. Because once you make a neder, so now you have a personal responsibility, you have a personal liability, and that means to say now that you have a chova, you have an obligation, and you can't use Maaser Sheni to pay off any of your obligations. If it's a Maaser Sheni just going to be applied to a Karban Shlamim in of itself, let's call it an Adava, that's fine. That would be no problem. But to use it to satisfy an obligation, a personal obligation that you have, that you cannot do. And that's basically what we learned yesterday's daf. Again, it's going to be repeated again in today's daf as well. And that's the Mishnah saying, Harei Alai Todi Avihi V'Lachma Menachulin. And that was the mission that we learned on the very bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph yesterday, where if you say you're going to bring Karban Todah, so you have to bring it and its lechem from Chulin, and the reason is for the reason that I just articulated. Because you now have a personal obligation to do so, and you can't use Maaser Sheni money to pay off those personal obligations. Now the mission went on from there, and good. And go back to yesterday's daf and review. One of the things that we discussed yesterday is, what if a person says, I'm going to bring a Karban Todah, but no bread? But no bread. I'm not interested in the bread. So can he say that? Why? He can say whatever he wants to say. Is he obligated to bring a Karban Torah? So we learned to Bryce yesterday that yes. Not only is he obligated to bring a Karban Torah, but the Bryce went so far to say yesterday, of kofenoso. In fact, now a little bit of compulsion, right? We nudge him a little bit, and however we need to get there. But not only is he on the hook for Karban Torah, but he's on the hook for a Karban Torah together with bread, because that is a Karban Torah. We asked a question yesterday. The Gemara asked a question yesterday. I don't understand. In other words, by him saying that he's going to bring a Karban Torah, but then immediately saying afterwards, and let's even call it Toch Kedei Dibur. Tosfos, by the way, does. Let's even call it Toch Kedei Dibur. Immediately afterwards, he says, but no bread. Isn't that basically a retraction? Meaning, isn't he basically saying, I want to bring a Karban Torah? No, I don't. And if there is a retraction, so then shouldn't we say as a conclusion that he doesn't have to bring a Karban Torah and there's no bread that comes along with it? And that was the Gemara's question yesterday. And to that Gemara's question, we gave two approaches. That of the opinion of Chizkia and that of Rav Yochanan. Chizkia says, well, you're right, but you know the Brice is holding like Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai says of the opinion Tfos Lashon Rishon. Meaning that if a person makes a statement, then he makes a statement running counter, ignore the second statement. Just focus on the first statement. Gemara gave an example for Beit Shammai yesterday. Right, this is where we find Beit Shammai stating it so clearly, is that a person says, I'm going to be a Nazir and no more figs for me. I'm abstaining from figs. Well, frankly speaking, that's not what a Nazir is. A Nazir is somebody who is abstaining from grapes and wine. So what does he mean to say when he says, no, I don't want any figs? So what Beit Shammai says is, well, it doesn't matter what he means. He said he's going to be a Nazir. He's going to be a Nazir. He quote unquote retracted. I don't care about the retraction. Tfos Lashon Rishon. That is Beit Shammai. Rav Yochanan said, no, you don't have to go that far. You could say that the Braisa is going like Beis Hillel, not like Beit Shammai. And how could the Braisa be going like Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel always looks at the totality of a statement. If he makes a statement followed then by a retraction, so then it's a retraction. So how can the Braisa be going like Beis Hillel? So what Rav Yochanan suggested as an understanding is, the Braisa must be talking about a case where his initial statement was, I'm going to bring a totem with no bread. Then we're all looking at him saying, you know, that's not how Torah works. Torah comes with bread, 40 loaves, in fact. To which his response is, I didn't know. Okay, yes. So then, yes, I want to bring a Torah with bread. So good, that's the way Rav Yochanan understood the Braisa. To which the Gemara then asked the obvious question, so then why are we forcing him? Why is the Braisa talking about compulsion? He's a willing participant in bringing bread. To which the Gemara answered, well, maybe the Braisa is talking about, or then he had misgivings. And after he acknowledged that he's going to bring the bread, at a subsequent point in time, he then said, you know what? Nah, I don't want to bring bread. Okay. And then compulsion is necessary. Those are two different ways to look at the Braisa. And this is where we left off yesterday, and Tashma. And the Gemara now is going to continue discussing these two opinions of Rav Yochanan and Chizkia in the context of the following Braisa. So let us all take a look at Pei Aleph Amud Beis. It's about two-thirds of the way down. It is the last two words in the line, our Tashma, and then HaOmer, and let's begin the Braisa. HaOmer HaRei Alai Toda Bo Lechem, V'Zevach B'lo Nesachem. So here the Braisa speaks out exactly what we just spoke out. A person who says he's going to bring a carbon Toda, but he states clearly, but no bread. Or he says he's going to bring a standard carbon, but no Nesachem. So V'Amr Lo HaVei Toda V'Lachma V'Zevach B'Nesachem. So and we counter with him. He says, No. You don't understand. Torah comes with bread. Carbon comes with nesachim. Va'omer ili ha'isi odeshikei lo ha'isi noder. And his response is, oh, I didn't know that. If I would have known that, I never would have made a neder. So you cannot speak out more clearly that he is not interested in bringing the carbon Torah with bread. And so this would be what we would call a retraction. Kofen oso. So what we do is we force him. Va'omer lo shemor v'shamata. Quote the pasuk from Devarim Perek Yud Beis. Shmor v'shamata. Basically, you said you're going to bring a carbon toda. You must bring a carbon toda. Now, that is the end of the Braisa. This Braisa sounds like Chizkia, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. Bisham l'Chizkia nichalei el Rav Yochanan Kasha. So for Chizkia, it's very good because previously the previous Braisa we said it goes like Beis Shammai. This Braisa, there's really no other way around it. It's going like Beis Shammai, right? Because in this Braisa, he made a statement, he followed them by a retraction, and we're ignoring his retraction. And in this Braisa, we know clearly it's a retraction. He's saying it's a retraction, and yet we're ignoring it. So therefore, this Braisa is going like like Beis Shammai. But if you're Rav Yochanan, what are you going to say? So I'm lecha Rav Yochanan, havada Beis Shammai. Okay, so Rav Yochanan will tell you, okay, you know what? I'm not arguing. Meaning on this Braisa that you just quoted, so yeah, I agree. There's no other way around it. It's going like Beit Shammai. The previous Braisa, there is room for interpretation. And so therefore, in the previous Braisa, I'll tell you that's going like Beis Hillel. But in this Braisa, I agree. Maishmor v'shamata. Now, at the end of the Braisa, we talk about compulsion because he is on the hook for a carbon toda and he's got to bring it together with bread. And what exactly do we mean when we say shmor v'shamata? So I'm Rabbi Shmor have toda, v'shamata have lachma. So Abaye understands that the two words are basically code for you got to bring the carbon toda and you got to bring the bread. Rava Amar Shmor Havei Toda V'Lachma. Rava, a little bit different understanding. Shmor means you're going to bring the toda and the bread. V'shamata Shlote Ragolasos Kain. And don't get comfortable over here. Meaning think twice before you do this again. Okay. And what's the difference between Rava and Abaye practically? I don't know if there is one, but. We are now going to head back to our Mishnah, and we're going to analyze our Mishnah. Hivalachma min amaiser yavi. If let's say a person says that I'm going to bring a carbon toda together with the bread, and they're both going to be coming from Eiser Sheni, so that's fine. Now again, why is that fine? Because, as we discussed in the beginning of Shir today, and we discussed yesterday, because as long as it's not satisfying a personal obligation, and you're just redirecting the Eiser Sheni money to be used as Shlamim, that's fine. And over here, carbon toda is a form of Shlamim, so you're good. So Yavi lo sagi de la maisi. Now the Gemara's question over here, really straightforward, which is: look, He said he's going to bring a carbon Torah for Maaser Sheni money. So he's going to bring it for Maaser Sheni money. Does he have to bring it for Maaser Sheni money? Meaning, can't he just simply bring Chula money and use Chula money? And it almost sounds as if, now you have to use Maaser Sheni money. You don't have to use Maaser Sheni money. You could use Chula money. So Rav Nachman, Rav Chista, Amrei, Rav Samevi, Lo Rav Salo Yavi. So the answer of the Amoraim is actually really straightforward. No, so don't understand the Mishnah in such a limited fashion. Meaning, basically, if he wants to, he could use Maaser Sheni money. If he wants to, he could use Chula money as well. Nice and straightforward. Lo Yavi Mechite Maaser Sheni, Ela Mimas Maaser Sheni. And now we're to the last point of the Mishnah, which we learned yesterday, and now we're going to analyze and understand a little bit better. Which is, in the end of the Mishnah, we learned together that if you're going to use Maaser Sheni for your carbon Torah, for Shlamim, or for any Shlamim for that matter, so you, well, I'm going to modify my second statement in just a second. If you're going to use Maaser Sheni for the animal, for the carbon Torah, and for the bread of the carbon Torah, so you can only use it from Ma'os Maaser Sheni, but not the actual Maaser Sheni itself. Now, let's apply a little bit of thought over here. Let's think this through. Maaser Sheni is coming from produce that grown from the ground. It's coming from your fruit. It's coming from your vegetables. It's coming from your grain. Okay? I'm in a Torah, exactly what it's limited to, Trumas and Maestros, as opposed to Midrabanan. But for our purposes right now, again, let's keep it simple. It's coming from produce and grains. So, can I use the Maaser Sheni itself? In other words, let's say I take the produce itself and bring it to Yerushalayim. Can I use it for a carbon? If you think about it for just a moment, that is an absurdity. A carbon is an animal. Maaser Sheni is produce. You're not using the Maaser Sheni proper for your animal. You can't. One is a vegetable. The other is an animal. And I say vegetable, I mean anything growing from the ground. Okay. Can I use Maaser Sheni proper for my carbon Torah? Of course, the answer is no. It's an absurdity. In other words, Maaser Sheni is produce. Carbon Torah is an animal. Can I use Maaser Sheni for the Lachme Torah? Oh, here you could. I mean, in a moment we're going to learn together you can't. But in other words, at least in principle you could. And it's feasible, meaning Maaser Sheni is produce. What's the Lachme Torah? That's bread. Bread is a grain. It's wheat. So in other words, at least it's feasible to even have this discussion. What we learned yesterday in yesterday's Mishnah, which the Gemara is now going to analyze, is that, yeah, you could, but don't. Meaning, in terms of what are you going to be using from your Maaser Sheni to buy your carbon Torah and its bread, is only going to be Ma'os Maaser Sheni, which means that you gathered your Maaser Sheni, you then transferred over to money, you brought the money to Yerushalayim, with that money now, you could spend it on a Torah and its bread. But you couldn't use the original grains themselves for the Lachme Torah. And with a really simple question of why not? So that's where we're headed right now. So Lo Yavi Michita Maaser Sheni El Mamas Maaser Sheni Rav Nachman Rav Chista Dami Tavai Lo Shanu Ela Michita Maaser Sheni Ava Michita Na Lekuchos Mi Maaser Sheni Yavi. If let's say you took your Maaser Sheni, you came to Yerushalayim, you bought grain with it, that grain can now be used for your Lachme Torah. Now, Yosef, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, came to Rabbi Zera, Yosef, and came to Loshanu Ela Mechite Maaser Sheni. Ava Mechite Nal Kuchos Maaser Sheni, Yavi. So here a subsequent discussion between Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera just basically said exactly what we just said. That if you take your Maaser Sheni grain that you collected, transfer it over to money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, spend that money on wheat grain, you can now use that wheat grain, which has Kedushas Maaser Sheni, and use that for your Lachme Torah. Just like what we said. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yirmiyah now turns to Rabbi Zera and says, Rabbi, Ata Omer Kein? So, do you really say that? Do you really think that? Ani Omer, Afilo Mechitin Al Kuchos Maaser Sheni Lo Yavi. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no, I am ready to go even one step further. That if you go to Yerushalayim and you buy wheat grain, you cannot use that wheat grain for the Lachme Torah. Now, what we're going to see clearly in just a moment is that according to Rav Yirmiyahu, here's what you can do. What you can do is you can take your Maaser Maaser Sheni and you can use it for Lachme Torah. Now, I know that's a little bit confusing because Rav Yirmiyahu seemingly just said you can't do that. Here's the difference, and if I could try to make this as clear as possible. What Rav Yirmiyah allows you to do with your Maaser Sheni money is that he allows you to take your Maaser Sheni money, go to Yerushalayim, and immediately buy with it, directly buy with it, the wheat for a carbon todah. Meaning, if it's going to be directly sent to your Lachmei Todah, for the purchase of your Lachmei Todah, that's acceptable. But what is unacceptable, according to Rav Yirmiyah, is that if you go to Yerushalayim and you're buying wheat with no specific purpose, of course, other than to eat it, and then subsequently you then say to yourself, hey, you know what? I'd love it if I'd use this wheat as part of a Todah carbon. That is where Rav Yirmiyah says no. Now, I know the difference between those cases are really subtle, and why would Rav Yirmiyah say in the latter case no? The Gemara is going to explain. Now, Rav Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zera, I understand you, but I also understand me. Look, what did we learn Todah? We learned from Shlamim. As I discussed in the beginning of Shir today, you take your Maaser Sheni money and you buy Shlamim with it. Good. Now again, we know in this conversion, it has to be in the form of money. It can't be direct. And you know it can't be direct for the reason we already articulated. Because Maaser Sheni is grain, it's produce. Shlamim is an animal. You can't use Maaser Sheni as your Shlamim because Maaser Sheni is an animal, it's a plant, and Todah is an animal. I'm sorry, and Shlamim is an animal. So you know when you go from Maaser Sheni to Shlamim, you know it has to go via money. It has to. There's no other way. And to which the Gemara says, good. Ushlamim, as we turn now to the top of Pei Bezim and Aleph. Ushlamim Sham Shami Maaser. And now as far as Shlamim is concerned, we have Xer Sheva linking it with Maaser Sheni. Umina. And now we're just going to continue making the limud. Ma Shlamim en Gufa Maaser. Av Todah Nami en Gufa Maaser. Now as far as Shlamim is concerned, it cannot be used directly from Maaser Sheni for the reason we articulated. So the same thing is going to be true regarding Todah. It cannot be used directly from the Maaser Sheni. Now, v'hani chita l'kuchus b'maaser sheni, nami en gufan maaser. So good. So if I took money, maaser sheni money, and bought wheat with it, is that wheat that I purchased, was that my original maaser sheni? The answer, of course, is no. You're good. You can now use this wheat for the lachmei todah. Okay, eima time adidi. So good. So all we have now done is we've explained Rav Yirmiyah explained Rabbi Zera. Very simple. Meaning just like by, and I'm just saying it outside one more time. Just like by a shlamim, which is purchased from Maaser Sheni money, it can only be purchased by the money of Maaser Sheni. You can't use Maaser Sheni itself proper. And again, for the reason why, because Maaser Sheni is a plant, shlamim is an animal. We're going to say the same thing by Todah. We're going to say the same thing by the Lachmei Todah. It can't come directly from Maaser Sheni. It has to be coming from the money of Maaser Sheni. That's really good, and that is Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, but here's where I'm going to go even one step further. So, and again, my starting point is going to be the same starting point. Where do I know carbon todah? I know from shlamim. And nu shlamim sham sham mi maaser. And we have gzeira shava from maaser sheni. Ma shlamim ein min maaser. Af todah ein min maaser. Just like by shlamim, it doesn't come from the type in which maaser comes from. Now, over here, focus on the word min. It doesn't come from that type. Meaning, what type does Maaser Sheni come from? Grain. What type does a Shlamim come from? Animal. So then, we're going to go and take this idea and go one step further. Avtodah ein min Maaser. So too, the same thing with the carbon todah. It cannot come from the type that which Maaser Sheni comes from. Lafuki chitim alakuchos b'Maaser Sheni. Min Maaser ninhu. And included in that would be even grains. Meaning, if I go and use my Maaser Sheni money to buy grains, so now, what is that? That is a min. That's the type in which Maaser Sheni comes from originally. And because it's the type that comes from originally, I cannot use those grains for the Lachmei Todah. I'm going to give us another way to think about it, because I know the Gemara's points over here are really subtle. But just I'm going to give another perspective to make basically the same point that Gemara just made. Look, when I take my original Maaser Sheni and I transfer it over to money and I go to Yerushalayim and I buy it in Yerushalayim food, so is that food now? Does that food that I bought? Do we look at that food as basically the original Maaser Sheni? Well, sometimes it's easy to say that, and sometimes it's near impossible. If, let's say, when I go to Yerushalayim and the food that I buy is meat, I can't say that that meat is the original Maaser Sheni, obviously. I mean, I can't even look at it as the original Maaser Sheni. The original Maaser Sheni is a grain. The food that I brought is a meat, is that purchased as a meat. It's obviously not the same. Obviously, the meat has Kedushas Maaser Sheni. It can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, but in other words, but certainly it's not the original. But let's say the original Maaser Sheni was wheat. I then roll it into money, transferring the Kedusha onto the money. I then take the money to Yerushalayim, and I purchase wheat with it. The wheat that I purchased, is that now going to be, can we say that that wheat that I purchased is basically just like its original? Because think about it. Originally it was wheat. I rolled it over to money. I went to Yerushalayim, I bought wheat with it. Maybe the way to look at it is now that the wheat that I purchased is basically now a replacement of the original wheat. And so maybe now it is exactly where I started. Now, not exactly, obviously. It's not the same wheat, but it's the same type. Now you hear that word carefully. But it's the same type. And maybe then, because the wheat is basically the same wheat, so therefore now I can't use that for my Meister, I can't use that for Shlamim. I can't use that for Karban Todah. Now, of course, I can't use it for Shlamim because Shlamim is an animal. But I can't use it for Karban Todah. I can't even use it for Lachmei Todah, even though Lachmei Todah is coming from wheat, because this is basically viewed as the original. Okay? I just provided is, it's another way of making the same point the Gemara just made. Amar Rabbi Ami. Continue on Pei Beis Amad Aleph. Hamanfiz Maz Meiser Sheni L'Shlamim. Lo Kana Shlamim. I'm in Yerushalayim, I have Meiser Sheni in my hand. And then what I try to do is I try to tack on another Kedusha onto that money, specifically the Kedusha of a Karban Shlamim. Does that Kedusha take effect? If you're not fully understanding, here, imagine the following. I have coins in my pocket. I don't, but I have coins in my pocket that are just simply totally undedicated. And what I would like to do now is I would like to give those coins the Kedusha of a Karban Shlamim. Does that Kedusha take effect? Sure, of course it does. And now, in other words, that money now has the Kedusha of Karban Shlamim. And obviously what I have to do with that money, and the only thing I could do with that money, is I can go ahead and I could purchase Karban Shlamim with that money. Now that I invested with that money, the Kedusha of Karban Shlamim. Good. Now, everything I just said, but the money that I have in my pocket right now is Meister Sheni money. Can I now take the Kedusha of Karban Shlamim and lay it on top of the Meister Sheni money? So what Rabbi Ami says is, you cannot. Meaning it simply doesn't take hold. My taima, d'lo alim kedushas shlamim mechal kedushas meister sheni. And what he provides over here is a very straightforward explanation. If we're talking about money with no kedusha, and for it to accept and absorb the kedusha of shlamim, no problem whatsoever. But over here we're talking about where it already has kedusha, specifically kedushas meister sheni. There is simply no room for the kedusha of the shlamim. Now, even though the kedusha of shlamim, we could easily say it has more kedusha now, but in other words, there's just simply no room in the money. The money already is earmarked and dedicated as Meister Sheni money. Now, let's continue. Meister Alokech Chaya Lezivche Shlamim Behem Labasar Taiva Lo Yatza Or Lechulin. So that we can understand and appreciate this Mishnah for Meister Sheni a little bit better, let's consider. Let's say I go to Yerushalayim and I have Meister Sheni money. And again, as I said in the beginning of Shir today, but now we're going to say it really clearly, what's the best thing for me to do with that money? Buy Karban Shlamim. Good. I'll buy Karban Shlamim. And I'll buy Karban Shlamim with that money. And so now, not only am I eating my Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim, but I'm eating it also as a Karban. Like, that's the best thing one could do with the Meister Sheni money. And on the top of the Amud, we learned the Gzeira Shava, telling us that it's appropriate. It's totally allowed. And we're going to go even one step further. It's not just allowed, recommended. Meaning it would be the best thing to do is to buy shlamim with it. Okay, good. If I have my Meister Sheni money and I buy any animals or carbon shlamim with that money, now let's think this through. All that money that I have is Meister Sheni. When I bought an animal for shlamim, so one could easily envision that the entire animal has kedushas Meister Sheni. But we all know that's not true. Because Meister Sheni has to be eaten. When I buy my shlamim animal with Meister Sheni money, are we going to eat every part of the animal? We're not eating the bones. We're not eating the hide. So what do you want to tell me now, that the hide has Kedushas Meister Sheni? Now, you could say that, but it's not true. It's just simply incorrect. The hide does not have Meister Sheni. And there are a number of different ways to say it, but we don't have to, right now, we don't have to be so nuanced. Basically, when I take my Meister Sheni and I buy Shlamim with it, it is understood that the Kedusha of Meister Sheni is only going on the edible portions, not on the inedible portions. And so that means the hides don't have Kedusha. If I can give you another example of the same idea, let's say I take my Meister Sheni money and I buy a barrel of wine in Yerushalayim. Great. Does the barrel have Kedusha of Meister Sheni? Now again, you could say yes, but it's just not true. It's not correct. The barrel does not have Kedusha of Meister Sheni. Only the edible portion, i.e. the wine content therein. So when I'm talking about an animal, it's basically the same thing. In other words, when you're buying a shlamim with your Meister Sheni money, it's only the edible portion of the animal, i.e. that which the hide is holding, the meat inside. Good. Okay, that's just the ground rule so that we can now approach the Mishnah and understand the Mishnah. I'm going to read the Mishnah again. The Mishnah writes, Alokei chai lezivchei shlamim. So let's say I buy a chai. Chai is an undomesticated animal. You bought a kosher type, a deer, a gazelle. Obviously, you can't bring it as a carbon. So, uvehemel abasar taiva, or alternatively, I bought an animal, but not as a shlamim, but basically, because I'm hungry, and I want to eat, and I would like to have a barbecue in Yerushalayim, and I'm going to use my Meister Sheni money for it. Lo yatsa or lechulin, the hide is not unconsecrated. Or to put it in positive terms, the hide has Kedushas Meister Sheni. Why? And the reason why is because you really didn't do what was proper and recommended with the Meister Sheni money. What you should have done with the Meister Sheni money is purchase a carbon shlamim. You didn't. You decided that you're going to take your Meister Sheni money and you're going to have a barbecue in Yerushalayim. What you did is not wrong. Let's not go off the deep end. It's not wrong what you did. It's just simply what you did was not the best way to use that money. As a result of that, so when you're buying your animal, whether it's undomesticated or whether it's domesticated, you just simply articulate that you're not using it as a shlamim. So now you know what's going to be invested with Meister Sheni Kedusha? All of it. Not just the edible portion, but even the inedible portion. Okay. Now, for a moment, the Gemara is going to think to itself that the inedible portion is going to be invested with what kind of Kedusha? Not just Meister Sheni Kedusha, but even Shlamim Kedusha. For a moment, that's what the Gemara is going to think. And let's see it inside. Lav lemeimer dekani shlamim. So, ha itmar ala amar rav lo kani shlamim, umay lo yatsa or lechulin, hachi kamar. Eina betoros latseisa or lechulin. The Gemara for a moment thought that the kind of Kedusha that the animal is going to have is Shlamim Kedusha. And if that's correct, which it's not, so then it can go back to our discussion, our question of, can Meister Sheni take on also Shlamim Kedusha? But the Gemara says no, that's just fundamentally not true. Meaning when you take your Meister Sheni money and you're buying an animal with it, a non-Shlamim animal with it, what the animal has is Kedushas Meister Sheni. It's that simple. And why my time Amarab Nasik Lokech Shol Lecharisha? And the reason why is simple. Because the way we're going to view this kind of transaction where I took Meister Sheni money and I brought it for non-carbon, we're looking at basically that you're taking the money and buying an animal for the purposes of plowing. Meaning, and again, I'll say it the way I said it earlier, even though it's not exactly what the Gemara is saying, but it's the basic idea, is that you didn't do the best you could have done with that money. The best you could have done with the Meister Sheni money, purchase the carbon shlamim. You didn't do that. So therefore, It's a penalty, but it's, not to go overboard, we're not talking about a real knas. It's not a punitive fine. The penalty is just simply that every part of the animal will now have kedusha, both the edible and the inedible portions. If I purchased a shlamim with that Meister Sheni money, only the edible portion would have had kedusha. But because I used the money to buy it for an animal that's not a shlamim, so therefore every part of the animal has Meister Sheni money. Okay. Itmar mafis maus meister sheni l'shlamim. The Gemara goes back and now revisits exactly this debate. Again, I have meister sheni money. I now want to give it another layer of kedusha, shlamim kedusha. Does it take or does it not take? Rav Yochanan amar kani, Rav Elazar amar lo kani. Rav Yochanan says it takes, Rav Elazar says it does not take. Now, okay, and now we get to the point that I foreshadowed at the beginning of Shir today. Maiser Sheni, money. It's a fundamental question. Is it yours or is it Mamon Gavoa? Right? I'll put it in other terms. Can I take my Maiser Sheni money and go over to a woman and be Mekadesh a woman with that money? It's very simple. If it's yours, the answer is yes. If it's Mamon Gavoa, the answer, of course, would be no. So, how do we view Maiser Sheni money? Is it yours with restrictions? Or is it Mamon Gavoa with an allowance for you to eat that which you purchased with the money? Okay, good. So now, Rabbi Yehuda says Mamon Hejod. Rabbi Meir says Mamon Gavoa. So for Rabbi Yehuda, who says that's Mamon Hejod, it's your money, can you take your very own money and assign it Kedushas of a Karmish Shlamim? The answer, of course, is yes, like we said earlier. If Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hejot, so then we have nothing to discuss. We don't have anything to debate. If you subscribe to Rav Yehuda, of course you can put Shlamim Kedusha into the Maaser Sheni money. It's your money. But Aliba Derav Meir Damer Maaser Mamon Gavohu. But over here, our debate is going to be within the world of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. And because of that, so it's not your money. You are a custodian of the money. You have the right to purchase food with it and eat the food, but the money is not yours. And so now, being that it's Mamon Gavoa, so now we can entertain the discussion. So, Manda Amar Lo Kani Kareb Meir, the one who says that there's no Shlamim Kedusha that could take effect in the Maaser Sheni money, really easy to understand. The money's not yours. It's Mamon Gavoa. You therefore, of course, have no right to take Shlamim Kedusha and put that into the money. It's not your money. Now the word in the Gemara we have is kari, but we're going to read it as karav. Kevin the meiser karav le shlamin ki matfis le nami tafis. And the counter argument would be, and I'll call this a simple argument. I really hear it. It makes sense to me. The counter argument would be, no, you could take your meiser sheni money and add to it kedusha of shlamim, because consider where it's headed to. Your shlamim, your meiser sheni money anyway is going to be used for the purchase of a shlamim. So since it's going to be used for the purchase of the shlamim, since that anyway, that should be that is the recommended end game of the Maaser Sheni money. So therefore, it makes perfect sense that if you right now want to take the kedusha of shlamim and add that to the money, it will take and it will take hold. Meisvei, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Hamarfis mas Maaser Sheni l'shlamim kishu poda mosif alem shnei chumshem echele kodesh ve'echele Maaser. Ah, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says that if I have my Maaser Sheni money and I add Shlamim Kedusha to it, and now I want to redeem it, and we know that the halach is that when it comes to redemption, you tack on a surcharge of 25%. I know it says Chomish, but we just learned recently. And we say it all the time throughout Shas. Fractions are milavar, not milagav. If you understand that, great. Anyway, 25%. And not only get a tack on one surcharge, it's two surcharges. Why? Because this money has two Kedushas to it. It has Maaser Sheni money, Kedusha, and it has Shlamim Kedusha. And so therefore, when you're redeeming it, you're going to be paying 25% two times over. Now, clearly over here, the Braisa that we just quoted is entertaining the idea that you could have money, you could have Maaser Sheni money with Shlamim Kedusha. Because when you're redeeming both Kedushas. Good? So the Gemara says, Mitzavos Devar HaKolhi HaMani Rabbi Yehudahi. So the Gemara says, yeah, it is good. But you're assuming that the author of that Braisa is Rabbi Meir. You don't have to say that. Meaning the author of the Braisa could be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Maaser Sheni is your money. And so therefore you want to imbue it with the Kedusha of Shlamim. Of course it could take hold, as the Gemara itself just pointed out a moment ago. Okay.
Yeah, but it's like a
tax-free exchange. Right. Right, it's right. It will, in other words, assuming that the money...
And the minute you touch it for something else, it becomes taxable.
Right. Correct. Okay. We start with the next Mishnah. Minayin la'omer harei alai todesh lo yavi ala menachulin. Okay, and I know I made this point earlier, but here the Mishnah is very clear about it, and that is that once I say the word alai, and I now have recourse where there's personal liability, I am now obligated to bring a carbon toda. Once I say that, so then I cannot use Maaser Sheni money. The money that is used in order to pay for my personal obligations, has to be my own money. I cannot use money that was earmarked for my Sushani to pay for my personal obligations. And the Gemara quotes a drasha. The Mishnah quotes a drasha to get us to this point. The pasuk says in Parshas Re'ev, "Zavachta pasuk l'Hashem l'kechat son of akar." A most confounding pasuk in the Torah where it says that you're going to buy your carbon Pesach and you're going to buy it from Tzon and Bakar. Now, when you think about this pasuk, you realize that you can't. It's impossible to read the pasuk on the simplest level. Your carbon Pesach is either going to be a sheep or a goat, otherwise known as flock, otherwise known as small animals. And the Torah says, oh, you know what? You'll get your carbon Pesach, you'll get it from sheep, you'll get it from cattle. You're not getting it from cattle. A cow is not eligible for a carbon Pesach. What does the pasuk mean? So, what the Torah there is doing is it's introducing us to a hekesh. Ma pesach nefesh b'chovavein ba'elam in achulin, and the hekesh works like this. You know, carbon Pesach is an obligation. We annually are obligated to bring carbon Pesach, and b'yameinu, we should have the opportunity to do so. We're going to be purchasing carbon Pesach, and we have to be using our own money. We have to be using chulin money. Now, the Mishnah is saying this as if we all know. Of course, you have to use unconsecrated money, right? It's your post tax dollar, if you will. Right. In other words, you have to use your money. So av kol davar shebechova ein ba ela min achulin. So anything which is an obligation can only come from chulin. Lefichach, and so therefore the Mishnah recaps. Omer hareal itoda hareal ishlamim ho vain chova lo yavi ela min achulin. And because now these are obligations, they can only come from chulin. Now, as far as Nesachim were concerned, Nesachim, you can never use Maaser Sheni for Nesachim. You can only use Chulin for Nesachim. Why should that be? Tosfos over here writes, he quotes the Sifrei. It's really simple. Because what do you have to do with your Maaser Sheni? Enjoy it. Or to use the language of Tosfos, Simcha. You have to be in a state of happiness. Nesachim, now of course, right, we're all happy to do mitzvot, there's no question about it. But we're talking about simcha, we're talking about enjoyment, meaning real physical enjoyment of eating. And when it comes to Nesachim, what happens to the Nesachim? It all goes on the Mizbeach, the flour, the oil, the wine. How much of it do you get of the Nesachim? Zero. So therefore there's no simcha, therefore you cannot use your Maaser Sheni for the purchase of Nesachim. Okay, and let's begin the Gemara. The Gemara starts off now, basically picking up where the Mishnah made an assumption and where the Mishnah know that from. The Mishnah says, we are learning a hekesh, just like by Karm Pesach, which is an obligation, and you can only buy it. You can only buy it from Chulin. So too is that going to be true by every time you have a personal obligation that can only come from Chulin. Good. And that's why the Torah says, Karm Pesach, Tzonu Bakar, good, we have a hekesh. How do we know that by Karm Pesach I can't use, for example, my Sosheni to buy my Karm Pesach? How do I know that? Meaning the Mishnah assumes that we all know that, and it's correct. And how do we know that? And so what we're going to begin today is a lengthy brisa. We'll finish the brisa this morning. We'll even analyze the brisa a little bit this morning. But really, from here until the rest of today's daf, we're only trying to arrive at one conclusion. How do we know that Karm Pesach has to be purchased with chulin money, and I cannot use Maaser Sheni or any consecrated money to buy my Maaser Sheni? To buy my Karm Pesach. So Pesach Gufa Minalan, Detanya, we learned in the brisa. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Nemra Pesach b'Mitzrayim, v'Nemra Pesach l'Doros. You know, we had our first Pesach in Egypt, and obviously this Pesach l'Doros is all future carbon Pesachs. My Pesach Amar b'Mitzrayim l'ba alam en achulin, a Pesach Amar l'Doros l'ba alam en achulin. Do you know that in Mitzrayim, we didn't use Maaser Sheni to buy a carbon Pesach, so that's going to be the case for all future generations. Now, if you just spend a moment thinking about this, you'll realize it's an argument. But wow, is that an argument? Because in Mitzrayim, yeah, you're right. We didn't use Maaser Sheni to buy a Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim. Do you know why? We didn't have Maaser Sheni. There was no Maaser Sheni. In other words, there wasn't the construct of Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is only when we get to Eretz Yisrael, which will be 40 years later. Okay, fine. So what we're doing now in this argument is that we're learning from something which is Efshar to something which is Efshar. And that's an argument. Now, Rabbi Eliezer will tell you, yeah, that's an argument. Meaning Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the idea that you can make this kind of limud of learning something from an area where it was impossible to an area which it was possible. Rabbi Eliezer is in fact comfortable with that. Amala Rabbi Akiva v'chidan nefshar mishiefshar. Now Rabbi Akiva clearly is not comfortable with that. And Rabbi Akiva's first counter argument to Rabbi Eliezer is, you can't do that. Learn from efshar, learn from efshar to efshar. Amala alfa pishi efshar raya gedoli hivinoman heimenu. Now Rabbi Eliezer's response to Rabbi Akiva is, I know that. I know it's efshar to efshar. And what I'm going to tell you is, raya gedola. It's a fantastic proof. And that's what we're going to learn from. Now, I know in the course of arguments and debate, so I don't know if this would score well on a debate team, where Rabbi Eliezer's counter-argument is, I hear you, we're learning it anyway. Okay. So obviously, what Rabbi Eliezer must have meant something over here in this line. Okay. Maybe if time permits, we'll come back to it a little bit later, but let's continue. Chazer Rabbi Akiva v'dan din acher. Rabbi Akiva is still unsatisfied with the proof of Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Akiva still is after Rabbi Eliezer. And he says, do you know that when we were in Egypt, so we shechted the Karban Pesach, and what did we do with the blood? We put it on the doorposts. On the lentil and on the two doorposts. Did we sprinkle on the Mizbeach? And the answer, of course, is no. Now, I know there was no Mizbeach, but that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva's point is. How can you compare Pesach Mitzrayim where there was no Mizbeach? There was no sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach, and we did not take the Imurim and put them on the top of the Mizbeach. And now you want to learn a halacha from there to Pesach Doros? Again, Rabbi Akiva is saying, how can you do that? Top of Pei Beis Amud Beis. Tamar Be Pesach Doros, Shetam Matan Damim, V'Imurim Legabe Mizbeach. So once again, Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Eliezer, how are you learning from Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach Doros? They're simply not comparable. So once again, Rabbi Eliezer turns to the Torah, Pasuk at the end of Parshas Bo, and that you're going to do this avoda in this month. And what is the Torah telling us? Every avoda that happens in the month of Nisan, for this Nisan and all future Nisans, right? For the next, whatever, 1,000 Nisans, right? It's been 3,300 years since the Torah was given. But in other words, while there was a Karban Pesach, and for every Nisan that happens, it's going to be like this. And just like this was Karban Pesach bought from Chulin, so too all future ones are going to be bought from Chulin. We're going to call this a Hekesh. I know it doesn't. It's not exactly the way a Hekesh normally sounds, and you'll see why I'm labeling this a Hekesh. We're going to call this a Hekesh. Now, Adkan Divrei HaBraisa, that's the end of the Braisa. So what do we know from the Braisa? Rabbi Eliezer, very comfortable. Very comfortable. How do I know that Karban Pesach is bought from Chulin? Because look at Pesach Mitzrayim. It was bought from Chulin, it wasn't bought from Maaser Sheni, and that's true for all future generations. And Rabbi Akiva's head exploded not once, but twice. Rabbi Akiva said, first of all, you are learning from Efshar to Efshar. How can you do that? And second of all, says Rabbi Akiva, in Mitzrayim there was no Mizbeach. And you're going to tell me that we're going to learn from Pesach Mitzrayim where there was no Mizbeach to all future generations when there was a Mizbeach? Good. Now, quite frankly, what we don't know at the end of the day or at the end of the Braisa is Rabbi Akiva agrees with the conclusion. What's his source? Right now, we don't know that. But in the meantime, however, and by the way, that's where we're going to start tomorrow morning. Meaning, where's the source according to Rabbi Akiva?
For what? To say
That a Karban Pesach has to be used with chula money, and you cannot use Maaser Sheni. Rabbi Akiva, Yisav Aladein, Danan Efshar, Mishi Efshar, Leikah V'Milsa. But right now, what we're going to do for the rest of today is just basically understand the dialogue that took place between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Akiva's head exploded not once, but twice. And the Gemara's first question is really simple. Rabbi Akiva's first point is a solid point. There was no reason Rabbi Akiva had to move off of his first point. If Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the idea that you can't learn out Efshar from Efshar, so then Rabbi Akiva just simply can stay entrenched in his first argument. He didn't need to move on to any other argument. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. Rabbi Akiva, Savala Dein, Dan Efshar, Mishi Efshar, Leikah B'Milsa. So let him just stand firm in his first point. And Ihadar Bey, V'haydalo Gamar, Mipesach Mitzrayim, B'Shem Haipircha, So Pesach Midbar Yochiach. And let's say that maybe he wasn't entrenched in his first point. Maybe he was ready to concede his first point. Let's even argue that. What's the second point? Well, you know there was no Mizbeach in Mitzrayim. So to which the Gemara says, okay, at the same time, I know there was no Mizbeach in Mitzrayim, but then the next year, where were we? In the desert. And we were observing Karban Pesach. And did we have a Mizbeach in year two? And the answer is, yeah, we did. we had a Mishkan. By year two already, we had a Mishkan. The Mishkan was set up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of year two, so that 14 days later, we offered a Karban Pesach with a Mizbeach. Was there Maaser Sheni at that point in time? No. And so, to Rabbi Kiva's second argument, a really simple counter-argument. What do you mean, Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no Mizbeach? I know that. But in year two, there was a Mizbeach, and there was a Maaser Sheni. So a really simple counter to Rabbi Akiva. So let's try to understand, where is Rabbi Akiva standing? Lidver of the Rabbi Eliezer commonly didiyah and dan efshar mishi efshar. So the Gemara says like this. As far as Rabbi Akiva moving for all from his first position, he's not budging. Not one bit. In other words, Rabbi Akiva's first point for him is solid. I don't accept your argument. You're learning efshar from efshar. I don't accept that. However, lididcha, but you know what? As far as I'm concerned, the argument is over. But I'll even argue on your terms, Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Eliezer. Da'amar dan nefshar mishi efshar ma'la pesach mitzrayim shekein en ton matan damen v'imorim legabe mizbech. Tomer bepesach dor shetan matan damen v'imorim legabe mizbech. But even on your terms, Rabbi Eliezer, how can you translate a halacha from Mitzrayim where there was no mizbech to future generation where there was a mizbech? V'amale Rabbi Eliezer v'avarata. And Rabbi Eliezer's counter-argument is a hekesh. Now, the Gemara says, wait one second. Even as we're understanding now that Rabbi Akiva is not moving far from his first position, and he's only arguing on the terms of Rabbi Eliezer, but doesn't Rabbi Eliezer have a good counter-argument, an excellent counter-argument? Meaning, you're right, Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no Mizbeach. 1 year later, in the desert, there was a Mizbeach, and there was no Maaser Sheni. Rabbi Eliezer, Lema Le Pesach Midbar Yochiach. So why isn't Rabbi Eliezer responding that to Rabbi Akiva? To which the Gemara says, L'dvarav de Rabbi Akiva Kamerle. To which, basically now, when Rabbi Eliezer is arguing to Rabbi Kiva, he's arguing on Rabbi Kiva's terms, meaning, L'dididan an efshar mishi efshar. Look, says Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Kiva, I also feel that the argument was over in the very beginning. Because I am firmly entrenched in the idea that you can learn out efshar from efshar. So, as far as I'm concerned, I don't even need to debate it anymore. However, mishum ha'pircha pesach midbar yochiach. And as far as your second question is concerned, Pesach Midbar is enough to disprove you. But Liditcha da'amart ein dan efshar mishi efshar va'avarata. But I'm even going to argue with you on your terms. Meaning you're saying I don't learn out efshar from efshar, but what do I have over here? I have a hekesh. And so what Rabbi Eliezer is saying to Rabbi Kiva, even in your position where you don't learn out efshar from efshar, but how about if I sweeten the deal? It's not just efshar from efshar, but it's also a hekesh as well. V'hashtanami lifroch. So the Gemara says, okay, but even though there's a hekesh, but don't we have a solid question to ask? Amar Rav Sheshet Zosamar Sei Meshiv Enala Hekesh. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. We do have an excellent question, but not up against the hekesh. Meaning the Gemara says this principle numerous times throughout Shas, and that is when you have a hekesh. So even if you have a question, even if it's a solid and legitimate question, but a hekesh will trump any argument, any debate, any counter debate that can exist against the hekesh. Meaning, say it simply, a hekesh is rock solid. It's really strong, and so therefore there's nothing to ask. Gzereshava, I don't know, but yeah, I'll say it. No, it's strong. Yeah, stronger than Gzereshava. Yeah, okay. Where do we stand right now? Over the course of today's daf, there were two halves to today's daf. The first half of the daf today talked about using your Maaser Sheni money to buy the Lach Metoda, a really nuanced and subtle discussion in terms of you certainly can't use the original Maaser Sheni. You have to transfer it over to money. If I bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy wheat with that money, can I then take that wheat and use it for Malach Metoda? So again, a nuanced discussion that took place between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zera on this point. That was the first half of today's daf. A subsequent question in the Gemara today, whether or not if I could take my Maaser Sheni money and layer on top of it the Kedusha of a Karban Shlamim and give it now not one but two layers of Kedusha, Maaser Sheni and Shlamim Kedusha. According to Rav Yehuda, the question isn't even get off the ground. Of course you can, because Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hejot, not Mamon Gavoa. For a mayor who holds that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa, the question becomes relevant. The Amoraim debate this very issue. And then the rest of today's daf, we learn that Karban Pesach has to be purchased from Chulin. Anytime you have a chova, a personal obligation, it can only come from Chulin. And for the remainder of today's daf, how do I know that Karban Pesach can only come from Chulin? So right now we have a source for Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva does not like the source for two reasons. A subsequent discussion of how the exchange went between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar on these points, and where we're going to start tomorrow, is where is Rabbi Akiva's source that Karban Pesach can only be bought from Chulin.